All right, welcome everybody. It is Friday night, November 15, 2019. We're in our series, Weapons of Spiritual Warfare. Our topic tonight is Knowledge of the Holy One, the Holiness of God. This is a live recording. All in favor say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And let's pray. Father God, we come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. And we thank you, Lord God, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus lived the life of obedience that God required, that he died to pay the penalty for sin. Lord, that he was raised from the dead on the third day, and that he sits at the majesty on high, at the right hand of the majesty on high. And we ask now that your Holy Spirit would come as a spirit of truth to guide us into your word, Lord, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and God, that we might have a better understanding of the of your holiness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the Westminster Confession of Faith says that, quote, there is but one only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts, or passions, immutable, which means God doesn't change, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his own immutable and most righteous will, for his own glory, most loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, the rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and withal most just and terrible in his judgments, hating all sin, and who will by no means clear the guilty. Unquote. All right. So the attributes of God are essential to the nature of God and comprise the characteristics of God which distinguish him as God. So we're talking about the godness of God. Okay? God finds expression of himself as God in the sum total of his attributes. And these distinguish him as God from all other entities. So the sum total of his attributes distinguish him from all, anything created, anything else. Without one or all of his attributes, God is no longer God. So it's the total package, and we have to teach God, we have to speak right things about God and his godness. And we don't leave it out. Well, I don't like this part. Just that God is just and terrible in his judgments. Meaning, when he judges, it's a righteous judgment. And he determines what's righteous. And the word terrible, it's like awesome. It's just like, whoa. That's his judgment. And he's, you know, and that's in there. And he is just. He's not Santa Claus, right? He's not the Easter Bunny. He's not the Wizard of Oz and all these other things. Okay. This is why it's so important that we understand just who the true God is. God is spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness and truth, which attributes may summarily be referred to as his glory. We talk about the glory of God, so we're going to go into a little bit. Well, what is it when we refer to God's glory, what are we doing? The Hebrew word translated as glory is kabod. It comes from a verb root meaning to be heavy. Now, in our language, sometimes it used to be popular to say, oh, that's heavy. Or was that before anybody's time?
No.
Oh, that's heavy. That's really heavy. Or we talk about something being light. And well, that's frivolous. That's light. So The glory of God is heavy. A person's importance in the Hebrew mind was in terms of weightiness. See? The Greek word for glory is doxa, from a verb root meaning to think, interestingly enough. The root meaning is to think. It refers to the opinion a person holds about himself or to what others think about him, so more like his reputation. So God's glory is the weight of the intrinsic, just his nature, godness of God, inherent in his attributes. He's God. Jesus Christ is God, fully God as though he were not man, and fully man as though he were not God. So we speak of Jesus Christ as the infinite God hyphen man. That makes him the perfect mediator between God the Father and people. Okay, perfect mediator. In applying this idiom, glory, the scriptures often substitute the word glory for a specific attribute of God. So when we read a passage of scripture, we want to run around and think in that scripture, what attribute of God is the word glory referring to? Okay, so look up Exodus 33, verse 19, and see if you can guess which is the attribute of God. Go ahead.
Then he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion.
Okay, so the glory, what do you think the specific attribute?
Goodness.
Goodness, that's right, goodness. All right, who else wants to try one? Steve, you want to try one?
Okay.
1 Samuel 15, verse 29. This actually has two attributes. 1 Samuel 15, verse 29.
And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should relent.
All right. So what's the specific attribute there?
Truth, truthful.
Okay, truthful, that's correct. And?
He operates in strength.
That would be one that you could say.
He does not relent. But
he doesn't relent.
Right.
Okay, so essentially he's faithful,
mm-hmm.
but he doesn't relent. So there's quite a few in there we could list attributes. Okay, let's see. Mark, you want to look up Psalm 19, verse 1. This one has three. These three.
David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork.
Okay, and maybe if we had more of Psalm 19, if you want to glance at it, see if you can, the heavens declare the glory of God. And Psalm 19, maybe it's referring to three attributes of God.
His glory.
Well, his glory is, the glory is not the attribute. The glory is referring to an attribute.
Firmament.
Well, that's the heavens. An attribute of God. For example, one is his majesty.
His majesty.
Okay. You came
his
close to one. You said, what did you say, might?
His might.
Okay, yeah, might or power. Right.
And his creativity.
Okay, that's good. All right, so he's creative. He's a creator.
Omnipotent.
Okay, so that's how you do. So you look in there and you can always ask, you know, oh, here's this word glory. Here's this word glory, because we talk about, oh, the glory of God, the glory of God. Well, Lord, what attributes are you highlighting here? What characteristics of yourself are you highlighting here? What are you wanting me to see here of your attributes? Because here's the word glory. Okay, there's more, but we'll, more references. God's spiritual nature is non-corporeal. That means God the Father does not have a body. The Holy Spirit is non-corporeal, doesn't have a body. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So that is, there's no property of matter that may be ascribed to him. He has no extension in space. No weight, like mass, like we do. You know, you get on the scale and I go, oh, come on.
Yeah.
How could I have gained weight and I didn't even eat anything?
Consider the source.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So he doesn't have no weight, no mass, no bulk, no parts, no form, no taste, no smell. He is invisible. Let's read it. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. Somebody else grab 1 Timothy 6, verse 16. So 1 Timothy 1, verse 17.
I got it. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Okay. 1 Timothy 6, verse 16.
Who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light. Well, that's something. Alone has immortality. You always think of all the certain created beings as they just, but it says, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen.
Okay, so this is about him being invisible. And being one in essence and without parts is indivisible, so you can't divide God out.
So he exhibits all of his attributes
all at once.
The time, all at once.
That's it. You got it.
Okay.
All at once, all the time. He is God. And the living God, as opposed to the no gods, or the dead ones, the living God has no serious competitors.
Which would include our idols.
Yeah, the no gods includes anything else.
Right.
The living God has no serious competitors. So some people think that God and Satan are like two equals battling it out. No. God is the creator. Satan is a creation. Well, you have to respect the powers of darkness in a sense, but you have to remember God is far above. Far above. God is as far above as somebody making an apple pie. Is the apple pie higher than the person who made the apple pie?
Yeah.
If you're woodworking, is the chair you just made higher than you that made it? No. So let's keep it in perspective. Okay. God is holy. He is infinitely holy, because he is infinite, eternal, every attribute. He is infinitely holy, eternally holy. There's no time when God is not holy. There's no time when he wasn't holy, and no, there's always was, is, will be holy eternally. God does not change so as to become unholy. You can't tempt God to be unholy. You cannot tempt God to do an unholy action. No. He cannot be tempted to do evil. You can try. He will not do evil. He doesn't tempt us to do evil, but he does test us. Are you there yet? Are you there yet? He does test us. That's his right.
He tested Jesus.
Right, to see if he was going to be the perfect Lamb of God. And he used the Pharisees a lot to do it. That was their job. Okay. So he doesn't change. The Hebrew root, I guess it's kadas. Q-A-D-A-S in Hebrew, kadas.
Okay, usually they say it's kadash, but...
Okay, kadash. The Hebrew root...
It depends how they transliterate it.
And the Greek root, hagiazo, expressed this idea with the basic meaning of separation. This separation moves beyond what we think of as moral purity to being more basically descriptive of God's intrinsic unapproachableness. He transcends us. He's unapproachable. Why? Because he's holy. He's separate from us. And he's a consuming fire. And we have to see that a lot of times it's for people's protection. They're praying, oh God, this and that and this and that. And he doesn't respond because it's for their protection. God knows himself. And if he did manifest and a person doesn't have what I call his fire protection suit on, they are not clothed in the righteousness of Christ. They don't have the garment of Jesus' righteousness. They are not clothed with Jesus Christ. You know, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they come try to be before a holy God. Guess what? There, anything that is against and contrary to the nature of God and his ways is going to be destroyed. Our God is a consuming fire. And so for our protection, as somebody's protection, he's not going to answer certain things. Because if he knows himself. And I've prayed for people and, you know, and they say this and that, and I ask, well, Lord, can I bring this person before you? No. No, I don't know this person. And they're not saved, or they're just, I don't know, whatever. It's just no. And it's for their protection. And I've had that many times in more than one country. So I'm always, you know, because I don't know one person, you know, and from another, you know, until you come, they come up there, and if you lay hands on them, and you know, you might know something. Okay, so separation. And when we're called to be holy as God is holy, we are called to come out or flee, separate. We lead a separated life. And that's as the more, I don't know, it gets to be a very narrow life. And people along the way don't want that, and so they want to go so far and no farther. But if you really want all that God has for you, you have to just, okay, well, maybe they'll come along, but you have to be ready to, like, lose friends, I think, you know? And God will
deny the flesh as well.
Huh?
Deny the flesh.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. So God is deity, meaning being God, has a majestic transcendence over the creature. God is separate due to his transcendence over against the creation. So God is unique. God is unique. Lots of scriptures we do questions the second week, so that's when you, that's the homework. Well, we do it all together. God is not only transcendent, but ethically holy as well, meaning his morals. He is distinct from sinful humanity. God has no sin. It's not in his mind. It's not in his nature. God is lawful. God is not lawless. Jesus Christ was not lawless. He is not lawless. It's not in his nature. People today that say Jesus has iniquity, no, there was never anything in Jesus Christ, in his heart, mind, soul, or spirit that wants, there's nothing there to want to sin against the Father. He always does and always did those things that please the Father. It's not there. He doesn't have the bent of the heart, which is iniquity. He doesn't have the bent of the heart to sin, or that's crooked or perverse or bent. He doesn't have that. He's holy. He is the child of the Holy Ghost. And he's holy. Always was. Always is. Always will be. God is morally pure, and that he is infinitely, eternally, and unchangeably morally pure. A relationship with God is the safest relationship you can have, because God loves, and he, and the nature of God's love is that he does no harm. Oh, that hurt, because he exposed something in our lives. Okay, but his love does no harm. He's doing that. It's like the surgeon. You're going to feel this more than a prick sometimes. You're going to feel this, you know, but you'll live. We're going to get this out, take this out of you, and then guess what? You know, life is better. Life will be better. So you might experience that over and over, but you have to know that God's love is a holy love. It's pure. It's clean. And he doesn't harm. And his love covers a multitude of sin. And he, his love is a jealous love, in that he jealously guards those he loves. And I'm serious. It's, one of his names is Flame of Yah. Flame of Yah. He jealously guards his own. Okay. So, God is holy and morally pure in regards to his character, his thoughts, and his actions. This is why we are not to tempt the Lord our God. He won't do evil. He's people that go before him, Lord, I want this. Oh, I want this. Oh, God, you know, just, you can't just get this for me just this once. No. He's not going to do evil to get anybody what they want. He's not going to do it. Hello.
Hi.
So we have to remember that. And we don't want to tempt him. We don't want a God who does evil either. I mean, when we think about it. So if he's not, you know, maybe we're asking amiss, it says in James. We ask amiss. To consume it what? To consume it on our own lusts, the things we want. Oh, blah, blah. And I had that experience one time, because I can't even remember now what I wanted. It was so many years ago. But I just wanted something, some crazy thing. I don't know what it was. And all of a sudden I hear this voice, if you direct that request to me, I will give it to you. I will give it to you. And I knew it was the devil. I just knew it was the devil. And I went, oh, right out loud, all by myself in the house, oh no, I don't want it that much. And it was a real moment. It was a real moment in my life. And I just backed way down, and I had to ask God to forgive me for, you know, whatever it was I wanted. It's so much that, you know, the devil was willing to, it's kind of like, if you sell your soul, you know, then you'll get whatever it was. And I don't even remember today what it was. And so that meant what it was wasn't even important. It was the fact that I was wanting it so much. Okay, so we tempt God to do evil, to change himself, to go our way, according to our thoughts and our character. He's not going to go our way according to our thoughts or our character. We had a missionary from Angola talk to us one time. We were trying to get into Angola. We couldn't get into Angola. And he said, and Stephen asked him, do you have any, you know, words to say to us or whatever? And he's about America and where we get off. And
I'd
he said,
another perspective, you know, from the outside.
And he said,
you have the.
Well, the question was about what's your view of the church in America? Right?
Yeah, something like that. What's your view? Because you don't, maybe we don't see something because we've been in other countries and, you know, you think you might see something. Well, maybe they see something, and I want to know what it is. And he said right away, if I can remember accurately, you have the Jesus you want, I believe it was.
Yes, that's right.
Not the Jesus who is.
You have the Jesus you
want.
Right
away he said that.
You have the Jesus you want, not the Jesus who is.
That's deep.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, you don't.
Oh, he was good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
That's good. Okay, so the devil loves that when we want God to do things contrary to his holiness and nature. The devil loves this and encourages it, especially among believers. Don't think, oh, well, unbelievers. No, no. Among believers, he does this. All right. Let's see. I think we're going to stop there. We will stop there for time's sake. And so at this point, you'll have to stay tuned to learn more about the goddess of God. So we'll all just say, Amen.
Amen.